ninth verse of chapter 14 of the book of Zechariah. Here is a glorious promise, a glorious prophecy. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. There shall be one Lord, and his name one." The prophet Zechariah kept pointing forward to a glorious day. Over and over through the book of Zechariah, you read the phrase, "and in that day," "and in that day," "and in that day." And he's prophesying of a glorious day that is coming in chapter 2, verse 11. "In that day, many nations will be joined to him, and he shall dwell in the midst of the people, and they will know that the Lord hath sent him." In chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, just sort of a condensation, "In that day when he has gathered the Jews back into their land, he will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone to all of the nations round about, and he will defend them from their enemies." Chapter 12, verses 10 to 13. "He will pour out upon the house of David and Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look on him whom they have pierced, and he will open a fountain to them for sin and uncleanness." Chapter 14, 4, "In that day he will put his foot upon the Mount of Olives. It will split in the middle, opening up a great new spring, which will form a river that will flow in the new valley down to the Dead Sea." From these things that are prophesied in that day, we realize that the prophet is not speaking of a day of 24-hour duration, but a period of time. It will be over a period of time in that day. He's speaking about a certain era that is going to come, not just a 24-hour day from midnight to midnight. And inasmuch as we have seen the rebirth of the nation of Israel, we realize that that day has already begun. We are now living in that day that was prophesied by Zechariah. We haven't seen yet all of the fulfillment of the things that will happen in that day, but that day has begun, and it began when Israel became a nation once more. And we have seen how the Lord has made them a burdensome stone to the nations round about them, and we have seen how that the Lord has defended them from those nations that would attack them. And so we have already begun that day. Many of the things have happened, and the rest will be happening very shortly. But this promise in chapter 14, verse 9 is one that thrills me. "For the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day." At the present time, we are living in a world that is in rebellion against the reign of God or of his son Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, they said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." And before Pilate, they cried out, "We have no king but Caesar." And they rejected the reign of Jesus Christ. At this present time, the world is ruled over by the powers of darkness. Through an extremely liberal interpretation of the Constitution that guaranteed the rights of free speech, the minds of Americans are being corrupted with filth. That liberal element declares that they do not want us, that is, the church or the Christians, imposing our values on them. What are they saying? Exactly what the Jews said in the days of Jesus. "We will not have this man to rule over us. We do not want to live by the standards that Jesus established." And so we see our world today still in rebellion against the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. The interesting thing is, even though they object to our imposing our standards upon them, they are determined to impose their standards upon us and actually have created laws whereby they impose their standards on us, though they object to our opposing our standards upon them. What are our standards? Our standards declare that you should be honest, you should be fair, you should be pure, you should be decent, you should be loving, you should be kind, you should be forgiving, you should be considerate. They say, "Don't impose those standards on us. We don't want to live by those standards." What are their standards? Kill, rape, assault, do what you want. And they're seeking to impose those standards upon us. You see, the freedom of speech, being liberally interpreted, allows the rock and the rap groups to advocate violence, sex, perversion, all under free speech. And what is the result of it? What is the effect of it in a society? Violence, permissive sex, perversion. Just this week in our community, three little boys, one 13, two of them 12, influenced by one of these rock videos, took guns, a machete knife to school, and were planning to take over a classroom and hold it as hostage, and end up just shooting the other students and themselves because this is something they saw in a rock video over and over again. When will the world see that we need Jesus? We need his standards. But I have some good news for you. In the midst of, and contrary to what you read in the paper, I have some good news for you today. The reign of Satan over the earth has just about come to an end. The world of violence and pain and suffering and crime and sexual perversion will soon come to an end. And the Lord will soon become king over all the earth. You see, the earth originally belonged to God. He created it. And when God made man, he gave to man the dominion over the earth. And he told man, take care of it. But man hasn't taken care of the earth. Man has raped the earth, has robbed it of its vital resources, has polluted its clear streams, has polluted its beautiful atmosphere, and has destroyed so much of the vegetation and the beauty. Man was given the earth to take care of. But very early, man turned the earth over to Satan because he rebelled against the commandment of God, and he surrendered himself to follow the direction and the advice of Satan, so that Satan became Lord over the earth. Jesus called him the prince of this world. Paul the apostle calls him the god of this world. One of the names for Satan in the Bible is Abaddon. In Greek, it's Apollyon. In English, it's destroyer. And we see how he has destroyed and is destroying the world. We see today how the world is being destroyed by the powers of darkness. We see how human lives are being destroyed. We see how little children are destroying their lives, many of them before they even reach puberty. Talking with just a little child the other day, under 13 years old, who is shooting speed into his veins, destroying himself. Surely he is the destroyer. And the world, by yielding to him, is being destroyed. I see how that sin, the rule of darkness, is destroying families, destroying homes, destroying everything that is worthwhile and decent. But God is about to take the world back for himself. You see, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to redeem the world from the power of darkness, that the world might again belong to the Lord. And in that day, when the Lord again claims that which was originally his, and that which he bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, in that day, the Lord will be king over all the earth. And for those who say we do not want this man to rule over us, for those who say we don't want his standards imposed on us, he will oblige them. He'll destroy them. They will not live with him in that day when he reigns upon the earth. for there shall be nothing that will defile and destroy in that day. In that day, the scripture said, there will be peace like a river that will flow over all the earth. In that day, there will be no sorrow or pain or suffering. In that day, Isaiah tells us, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. In that day, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, there will be no special laws for the handicaps, for there will be no handicaps. The lame will leap for joy, the mute will be singing praises unto the Lord, and the blind will see the glory of God. In that day, the Lord will be king over all the earth, not just a portion, not over just those who have chosen to follow him, but over all the earth, and he will rule and he will reign in righteousness. In the psalm that we read this morning, Psalm 2, beautiful psalm, and it follows sort of the order of things as they are going to be. Note, it begins describing the conditions of the world today. Why do the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? They imagine that they can live and prosper apart from God. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let's cast their cords from us. That's exactly what they're saying today. Don't impose your standards on us. We will live as we please. We have the right to abort that child within the womb if we so desire. We have the right to have whatever kind of sex we want with whomever we want. And now they have begun the big push for the pedophile association, adults having sex with children. That push is on right now. And they're saying, let's break the restraints of Christianity that have held us back from these things that we want to do. Let's get rid of the law of God. Let's remove the Ten Commandments as standards. Let's live as we please. But he that sits in the heavens will laugh, for they will be in derision. The Bible speaks of these last days as the time where there would be this distress of nations with no way out. But then he will say, I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. God is going to establish his rule and his reign. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, and Jesus is speaking here, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And the Father said, ask of me, and I will give unto you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. In that day, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Who is the Lord that shall be king, and what is his name? Isaiah tells us about him in chapter 9, verse 6. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it, with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. What is his name? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is he? A child that was born, the Son of God who was given, that he might redeem the world from the power of darkness and sin. Micah speaks of him. And he said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come he unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." The eternal God, born in Bethlehem, but he is appointed to be the ruler. Revelation speaks of him in chapter 11, verse 15. When the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." In that day, the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 12:10, "I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Power of darkness cast out, and our Lord shall reign. Revelation 15:4, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Revelation 19:6, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Daniel speaks of him. And he said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." In chapter 7:14, again Daniel said, "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." Paul tells us in Philippians that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And in that day the Lord shall be king over all the earth. When the angel spoke to Mary concerning the child that was to be planted in her womb by the activity of the Holy Spirit, he said to her, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This coming king is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be king over all the earth. We are living in the day that was prophesied by Zechariah, the day when Israel would be reborn, the day when God would defend them, the day when the world would want to throw off the restraints of God, the day when the nations would be in distress with no remedies, the day when man would come to the end of his futile efforts of trying to reign over fellow man, the day when the Lord shall establish his reign and his kingdom over all the earth. The big question is, do you belong to that kingdom? Are you a part of the kingdom of the Lord? Or are you living under the kingdom of darkness? Are you one of those who say, "We will not have him to rule over us"? Are you one who is trying to throw off the restraints? Trying to break away from the restraints that God has established? Being destroyed by the kingdom of darkness? Or have you surrendered? And have you kissed the scepter and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and have entered into the joy of a life that's lived in fellowship and submission to God's established king? It's interesting. The one kingdom will destroy you. The other kingdom will take that which has been destroyed and make something of value out of it. And how many people we have seen destroyed by the kingdom of darkness, but made anew as they entered the kingdom of light. As the old things passed away and everything became new. Which kingdom are you in? Shall we pray? Father, how we thank you for the hope that we have today in the coming kingdom. Lord, we hear the promises of the politicians promising great and glorious things. Lord, we know their inability to perform. We hear the cries of the world who want to throw off all restraints, who do not want the righteous rule and reign of Jesus Christ, but rather be ruled by that destroyer. And we see the destruction in the world today that has been wrought by the power of darkness. Oh Lord, we pray that thy kingdom will come and thy will shall be done in this earth, even as it is in heaven. Lord, come quickly, we ask. Establish your reign in the world, even as you have established it in our hearts. And may we see that glorious day when the kingdom of God is established and men live in peace, in love, and in joy. In Jesus' name, Father, do it soon. Amen. Shall we stand? You know, when the apostles were beaten because they were testifying about Jesus Christ and how that there was salvation in no other, and they were threatened not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus, told of the things that would befall them if they did, as they began to pray, asking God for strength, they recognized in their prayer that the things that had happened to them that very day, as they were facing the rulers of the Jews, those very things were things that were prophesied in the scripture. Lord, this is exactly what you said would happen, and sure enough, happened to us today, just like you said it would. But in the realization that this was something that God had spoken about, there came that confidence. God is still ruling. God knows what's going on. And God has a plan. And thus, we do not despair when we look at the conditions of the world. When we read the newspapers, when we see these horrible things that are happening, we don't despair. Because indeed, this is just exactly what God said would be. These are the things that would necessitate the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, rather than despairing, we have great hope today, for we know that in that day, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And his kingdom shall come. And so, as a child of God, bolstered by that hope, may we go forth into this world that is controlled by the powers of darkness, and may we be a light unto that world, a beacon to man that is lost, letting them know that there is hope for the future. Our King is coming. It won't be long. And he's going to establish a righteous kingdom over all the earth. Maybe you're not in his kingdom. Maybe you've been rebelling against him. And maybe you can look at your life today and see how you are being destroyed because of that rebellion. And maybe today is the day you would like to become a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. The Bible says we are just strangers and pilgrims here. And I feel like a stranger and a pilgrim when I look at the world in which I live, when I see the things that are going on. This is foreign to me. I'm like an alien because I am a citizen of another kingdom, the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who when he comes will change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto his own glorious image. And our hope is in our coming King. And he is coming soon. We are living in that day, that era, that time, when the King is going to come. But now is the time for you to bow your knee and to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You may go back to the prayer room. Pastors and counselors will be back there to welcome you into the kingdom of God and to help you to enter the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ.